Okay.
So, thank you everyone for coming again. This week we'll do Parshas Mishpatim from last week, and maybe two things on the slate. We have Ishamikam Chitzav, and then maybe if we get to it, Rav Chaim's Bar Mitzvah Pshatl that he said over on Treifa, the idea of Treifa. So, okay, so first of all, this week's Parsha, it says, Anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li. So what's, there's a famous Kotzker Vort on this. It says, first you have to be an Anshei, and then you can be Kodesh. So you have to be a Mensch first, and then be Kodesh, the famous famous Vort. So on this, I'll just say over a famous story that I heard from Rav Tendler himself, and subsequently, I've seen it in some of these farm, some of these storybooks printed up. When they were engaged, so Rav Moshe's daughter and Rav Tendler were working on the invitations to the wedding, and there was an exterminator in the room working, doing his job, you know, cleaning up, trying to clean up whatever rodents there were. And when he left and Rav Moshe came into the room, he said, by the way, did you remember to invite the exterminator? So Rav Tendler said, Rav Moshe, the exterminator, what is he? He said, no, he was in the room when you were discussing the wedding. He might feel bad if he's not invited. So they invited the exterminator. That's the story. I heard my own ears. Then another story I heard from Dr. Sar, who was the doctor here for 50 years. He's a very colorful personality, and his father was the first dean of YC, I believe. I don't know his first name, but this was Dr. Eli Sar. His father, unfortunately, had a heart condition. And during one Chag HaSmicha, I believe, he felt pain in his heart, and he felt embarrassed to take a pill for his heart during the sermon in front of all the people. And unfortunately, he didn't make it out of the Chag HaSmicha. So Dr. Sar would always say that story, how you have whatever medication you have to not be ashamed to take it whenever you can. Anyway, and his father, Dr. Sar, was instrumental in bringing Rav Moshe Soloveitchik here. He actually made a trip to Europe in the 30s to bring Rav Moshe here. And the only problem was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik apparently had an ingrown toenail and couldn't pass the medical exam to get the visa. So they had to wait like a few months before he could get the visa. Anyway, these are stories I heard from him, among many others. But he told me a story. He used to daven in Moriah. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was the, the Rav always gave a chumashir there on Tuesday nights. And he'd always give on the last week's thing. So we're in good company. He always used to give on the last week's chabur because he didn't want rabbis copying his sermons for their thing. So that was his logic. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was the Rav there. I remember what year. Obviously, he left here in 66 to go to Chicago, so it must have been before that. And Dr. Sar was, I don't know how old he was, maybe he was in his 20s, and he needed him he was afraid he wouldn't have a minyan for mincha, so he, Dr. Sar lived like on the 25th floor or something, you know, these residential skyscrapers in Manhattan, so somewhere around there. So he told Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, okay, just send somebody to get me. He didn't expect Rav Aaron to walk the 25 steps. So time comes for mincha. Someone's knock on the door. He opens the door. Who's there? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rebbe, I didn't mean for you to. I told you to call somebody. He says, yeah, I couldn't imagine asking anyone to come up 25 floors. So he came out himself. Okay, Rav Aaron was a very energetic person. By the time people here knew him, he was already had the stroke, unfortunately, in 1983. So but apparently he very energetic, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so let's say first of all, I'll say one, two things about Rov was in the Parsha last week. The concept of Rov, the Gemara discusses in Chulin. So I just throw out a. There's a famous story about Rov with Rov Yonos on Apeshitz. I don't know if how many. I think maybe I told it over to Ike in this Chavrusa. But the famous story is that he was obviously Rov Yonos on Apeshitz was known as a child prodigy already at age 6 or 7. He was, and the local governor in whatever city he was in, Prague, or. You know, they had these princes there, whatever, they lived in castles, and he heard about this young Jewish prodigy, so he wanted to meet him. So he sent a messenger that he wants to meet him at the castle at, let's say, at 3 o'clock. This was already 1 o'clock or something. And he wouldn't tell him the way to get there. So at 3 o'clock, Rav Yonos Apeshitz showed up at the castle. So he asked him, how did you know how to get here? He says, I asked people on the way. He said, well, maybe they were lying to you. Maybe they wanted to fool you. He said, I thought of that. So every time I had to change directions, I would ask 3 people. That way, I'm sure that at least 2 of the 3 weren't lying. So maybe 1 was lying. So then whoever the majority was, I went with that. So he said, okay, that's okay, makes sense. And he said, well, then the discussion took a serious tone, and he said, well, let me ask you, you see, you Jews, you're only a minority. You see, we Christians, we're the majority. So maybe, based on your logic, you should follow us. And so he said, no, you only follow the majority when you have a doubt. When you have no doubt, you don't follow the majority. We have no doubts, so we don't follow the. We follow our own Nesar. We don't know. Okay. Just one. The Pnei Yeshua has this idea. I'm not going to answer this question now because it's discussed a lot. Let's say we know that Ruba vechazaka Ruba Adif, right? Now a chazaka is greater than an Eid Echad, according to one opinion. There's 2 deyas in the Gemara in Gittin. Whether a cheska sisser, an eid echad can beat out a cheska sisser. Okay, so we have A greater than B, B greater than C. So it follows that Rov should be greater than an eid echad. Rov should beat out an eid echad, but we know that's not true. An eid echad could tell you whether something is, that's the kosher piece or not piece, even though Rov would dictate otherwise. So that's a problem that's discussed. All right. Okay, let's see. Okay. Also, we have that's always another entrance question to Voloshin. So the way it goes is this also deals with the parsha. It says Bari Vishema Bari Yadiv, right? The sugya in Baba Kama. More or less appears at the end of Baba Kama. It's buried there, like on the last blot or Kuf Yud Ches at the end. And most people don't get there. They know it from other means. But anyway, the question is, we have a concept of Migo. The concept of Migo, of course, everyone knows, is that if you had a, if you're telling something that you had a better taina to say, you must be telling the truth. Otherwise, if you were lying, you would have said the other taina and won. So obviously you must be telling the truth. That's logical, the biru concept of migu. There was also a koach taina concept of migu, but we'll leave that. We'll just go with the biru, the more pashut one. So the question is, why is bari v'shema bari yadiv? The shema has a migu, he could have said bari. So it should at least be a chloku, right? Why does the bari win out? Okay. Assuming he wins out, of course, we're disregarding now the Cheskas Mamon. Assuming no one has a Cheskas Mamon, it's Mechlekes there whether if you have a Cheskas Mamon, you the Shema will still win out or not. But anyway, just disregarding that, just pure no cheskes mamon. Like, so we'll give you a chance to think about that one. Okay, let me see. All right, so getting to mishpatim. So now, I think the Rav always said, Rav Shechter repeats, there's three concepts there. There's mamon amazik, adam amazik, and chovo b'chaveiro. Those three. There's also, so those are the three concepts in nizikin. Chovo b'chaveiro has a concept of dalad dvarim, shevet, nezek, ripu, itzar, and boshes, or sometimes, yeah, so you have those dalad or hey dvarim, there they are. And mamon amazik, each one has its own thing, like you have bor velo kalim, eish, you have this concept of tamun in eish, at least if you hold ishu mishum amono, you have a concept of tamun. We'll see soon, that's not so, we'll see soon in the Rambam. So you have these different ideas in each one of them. Now, say bor velo kalim, as I recall, again, in Rav Shechter's entrance, Bechina, to his Koilol, he would always ask, what kind of Kalim? Is it Kli HaMekabel Tuma, Kli Sheinu HaMekabel Tuma? What kind of Kli is that? So, obviously, oh, he tripped the people up. You'd have to know a Gemara in Bava Kama Memchas to answer that question, where they're... It has an idea of a shore being a bore falling into a pit full of water, and it says there that the water, he's not chaya for the polluting the water because the water is a keli. So anything that's not a bal chay is a keli. So it doesn't have to be a like a cup or anything with a couple tuma. It's a trick question. So anyway, that's one of his. His other famous one is, can a woman be a nazir? You've heard that one, I'm sure. All right, this is a lesser known one. All right, okay, now this concept of Ishum Ishum Chitzav, so Rav Chaim, quoted by Rav Baruch Ber in the Birkas Shmuel, talks about it quite a bit. And Rav Baruch Ber was very medayek in everything his Rebbe said. He was very big on that. I heard a story once from someone in the yeshivish world. So why Rav Chaim had different talmidim, his son Biskarov, Rav Chaskel Abramsky. Everyone heard of Rav Chaskel. Rav Baruch Ber also talmid. The question is, how was Rav Baruch Ber's learning different than theirs? So he said, let's say Rav Chaim would say that a table is a cow. So what would Rav Chaskel and the Biskarov, they would say, oh, what did Rav Chaim mean? Rav Chaim meant a cow stands upright, the table stands upright. A cow has four legs, a table has four legs. And Rav Baruch Ber, he would try to milk the table. It was an idea of how Rav Baruch Ber was adamantly following his Rebbe's words. So Yishum Yishum Chitzav. Okay, so here is Machlekes, of course, Rav Machlekes, Rav Yechon, and Rish Lakish, whether it's Yishum Yishum Chitzav or Yishum Yishum Amalno. The Gemara there, there's a Shakavataria there, and there's the Gemara asks a couple of questions. Now, the question is, what exactly are the nafkaminas, whether it's mamono? So Gori there discusses tamun. Is tamun going to make a difference, according to them? And say everyone agrees, if kalu lo chitzav, the way the case there is that the guy set the flame and there was a barrier there that would have stopped the flame from going over, and for some reason it fell down, shalom achmas hadleika, shalom achmas the eish, it fell down and the eish continued. So anything the eish does after crossing that barrier will be mishum amono, because when he first lit the fire, so the wall was there, so kalu luchitzav at the wall, and anything the eish does afterwards is ishum ishum amono. So that's how he takes care of that. Although the Rashi has two lishonos there. It's not brought down in our Rashi. It's in the Marshal, which according to one, to the second version of that lashon, it could be that Rabbi Yochanan somewhat abandoned his concept of chitzav being force. Being a force, and although he still says that you're chayiv al tzadam amazik, but maybe not because it's a force of an adam, literally. Okay, not literally, but maybe because the person lit the flame, and that's a pshia gedola, as the Avi Ezri says. So therefore, the Torah, even though it's mishum, really it's ishum mishum amona, it's almost muchach like that from the Rambam's Lashon. The Rambam's Lashon famously in Yudalid Tesvav of Niske Mamon is, Afal pisha ishum amono hi, harehi kemi shehid lik bechitzav. So, see, Rambam is focusing on it's mamono, and there's a famous gra in Taf Yud Ches, Simon Lamed Gimel, who points this out. That according to the Maskana, again, depending on the girsa you have there, Kulei Alma something or another, I forget the words, it could be that Ishum Chitzav, according to the Rambam, is, like I'm saying, is really Mamono, but since it was caused by Abshia Gedola, the Torah basically imposed Chiyuve Adam Amazik without a Maisa Adam Amazik. Okay, that's the idea. Rav Bachber has a little different version of this. He says it's as if the person is constantly madlik v'chozer u'madlik. So it sounds like the Torah considered it a maisa, even though technically it's not. Now, how does this pertain? How does this pertain to us? Well, it could have ramifications in major ways. Let's say Rav Schechter has this in a sefer. Difference between what you require a koach gavra and what requires what he terms a maisa adam, otherwise termed in Rabach Ber and others as a masa beyadaim. So a masa beyadaim means you cause something and the effect relates to you, but not that you caused the effect. You didn't like put your punch in it. That's one like the rotzeach shechita that you have to put your punch in it. See, it's not enough just that the result relates to you. Okay, now, so Rav Schechter argues that perhaps to press a button on the matzah machine, that's enough to create the lishma. Okay, that's enough to create lishma. You don't need to do a, you know, do this in the matzah and knead it into a dough. And you don't need that. The machine can do that. It might be another problem with the machine. I once heard Rav Schechter mention is that you might have a problem with shmira, because a lot of these machines rely on rov. There's a little chametz there, but it's batel before Pesach. The chametz becomes batel, being bimino is batel, berov, and whatever, yavish, biyavish, whatever it is, becomes batel, berov. It might not be a proper shmira. So you may not be yeltze matzah alts that. Separate problem. Yeah, the new ones, the Chabura Matzahs, the machine, they clean the entire machine, like they have the parts come apart. So they'll clean the entire machine and put it back together before the next batch. Okay, so you don't have a problem with that, the Chabura Matzahs, the Mahadrin, whatever. Right. Okay, but that's the point. So it could be that according to the way the Gra understands the Rambam, this understanding of the Rambam, the only reason he's chayav al tzadam amazik is because the Torah, it was a pshia gedola, and it was imposed on him. But really, it's mamono. So, you know, how's your pshia gedola going to help you for the matzahs? It's not. It's only a din in Ezekiel. It's not a din in Kol Torah Kula of a maisa. You actually did something that the effect relates to you. It doesn't. It was done by your mamon. But since you were pshia, the Torah imposed the chiyuvim on you, but it's not your maisa. It's not okay. So that's a version of the Rambam. And okay, so people eat these machine matzahs should have that in mind. That it might be not so simple. Okay, but the other two versions are Okay, the famous question is, are you chayiv misa for isho mishum chitzav? Okay, so that's a famous machlokes. Tosfos in Sanhedrin Ayin Zion says you are. The Ran there in Sanhedrin says no, it's not. Tosfos says, we have a Gemara there, we'll call it the rebound case. You throw something, and it rebounds. So the Gemara says, you're still chayav misa, and it kills somebody. The Gemara says, he's still chayav misa, or whatever, because it's kocho. It's still kocho on the rebound. So Tosfos says, why do I need that for? It's ishum mishum chitzav anyway. I don't know what I'm going to have to say kocho. So Tosfos says, einachanami, that was only going lamanda amar isho mishum amono. But if you hold ishum mishum chitzav, you don't need that kocho bit in the Gemara. You're chayav misa anyway. Okay, so Tosfos there, that's one version. It says even though your force is combined with a natural force here, the flame, maybe electricity, whatever the natural forces are, it's still considered your force. That was the Chiddush HaTorah, maybe Chovat Torah Kula, it's considered your force. Okay, so that's one way to learn it. It's kocho mamish, and by Ritzicha, you do need kocho, and Isho gives you kocho. Okay, the other, the Ran, he learned not that way, that Isho is not kocho, it's somewhat less than that. It's Maisa Adam, Maisa B'Yadayim, the result relates to you, because you're using Koach HaMurabo, the natural force. You cause the natural force to move into motion, and the whole thing, the effect relates to you, but you don't have your oomph in the thing itself. Okay, forget the Yiddish lashon they use. It's something like Misrakech, but I forget the Yiddish thing. Is when it means like to basically punch somebody or something. Okay, so that's the Ran's version. Perhaps, and then you have also what we said in the Rambam, that it might be Mamono, really Mamono, but since it's a Pshia Gedola, you got Chiyuvei Adam Amazik. Okay, so that's one thing we have. Okay, now with that, we have to...
According to the Rambam, it's Pasha Yuvi Pasha from Nisa. Is that what you're saying?
From what?
From Nisa?
Yeah, yeah. The only problem is that the Rambam, we'll see. I mean, the Rambam does quote kocho. He says kocho. Mm-hmm. You need kocho. And by Misa, well, there he doesn't say anything explicitly, but we'll see. Because, again, the famous Gemara is that if you have a gadish, you have a haystack, an evid kafus lo, and you light the haystack, so then your patur on the, okay, we're going to say the haystack and the evid. Why? Because if you hold ishum shum chitzav, the Gemara says, it seems to say it seems to be kim levera meminei. So working with Ramana, you're chayav misa on the Aved. That's what it seems. And the Rambam quotes that. The Rambam brings that down. So then you get a problem. How does that happen? According to the Rambam, it's not kocho at all, really, right? We're just saying it's not kocho. So how do you get a ptur mamon from kumulei b'ramine? The Gemara never explicitly says it within Rabbi Yechanan kumulei b'ramine as the brisker of his medayeg. The Gemara says the Gemara says it within Reish Lakish. The Gemara says, oh, we understand according to Rabbi Eichnan why this should be true. It's Ishu Mishum Chitzav, it's his, seemingly it's his Koach. Makes sense. But according to Reish Lakish, why is he Patur? It's only Ishu Mishum Amono. Why should he be Patur on the Evet? If a shore gores an Evet, Yichayv on the Dmei Evet, so Eish is no different. The Gemara says, he'd sit Begufo Shal Evet. He mamish put the flame right on the oven and killed him that way. So that for sure is kocho. I know it's going to argue with that. So so that way he'll be patur. Okay, why is he patur? We have to say he. Okay, I'll leave that. That's the way Gemara. The Gemara says, and then the Gemara says because of Kamali Rabbi Mine. It doesn't say that on Rabbi Yechanan per se. So that's a diuk the Brisker Rav makes, that maybe according to the Rambam, is everyone familiar with the Tana de Bechizkiah? Tana de Bechizkiah is basically, if Kamar Rabbi Mineh is, if you're amazed, So then there's this din of Kamal Rabbeinu, Ulainim Asoniya. Learn it from there. You're Pater on the Mamanos if you're Chayiv Misa when you do an act, and both Achiv Mamon and Achiv Misa occur. I'm just simplifying it because Kamal Rabbeinu is a. We'll touch about it a little later. Now, Tana B'chizkia says that even if you're a shogeg and you're not actually chayav the Misa, you're still pater. We learn from Makeh Adam, Makeh Be'ma Yishalmena, Makeh Adam Yamus. You're right, wearing Subas Lamedalad says, Ma Be'ma Lochi Lakta, Be'in Shogeg Lamezid, Be'in Niskaven Shalom Niskaven, Liftor El Lechayev Mamon, meaning another Mamazik is Chayiv in all circumstances. We'll see. Okay, we'll just leave it there for now. And so too, Makei Adam, he's going to be he's Yamus. Okay, so the Gemara learns from there that he's Yamus and he doesn't pay, and he's not Shalol Chayiv Otal Liftor also in these situations. Then Miskavin, lo miskavin. So we learn basically the famous then from the you learn from there is that in shogeg situations you also don't pay the you're not getting the actual misa young maybe chayv a kor whatever chayv a carbon or maybe not even that but you would have been chayv misa had you not been mazed, so you're potter from a mamon too. The misa is a misa ritzicha, that's enough. You know, the onish is not so is not important. The Brisker Rav learns from various sources, maybe a Taisus in Baba Kama somewhere in Lamed Hay, touches on this, is that there's also a secondary level in Adam HaMazik. Adam HaMazik, who causes death, is Pater from Tashlumim Alts Adam HaMazik. He's Pater from Demei Avid, from this Damim. Now, there's nothing to do with Kamad Rabbeinu. It could be not Chayev Misa at all. But if he caused Misa through Adam HaMazik, that's a ptur on its own. That's a secondary level of Adam HaMazik. So Tana B'chizkia had two levels. And maybe the Rambam, he says, is working with that second level. So the only problem is, like we said, it's Chiyuve Adam HaMazik, who says you actually get the pturim of Adam HaMazik too. So he's assuming that. Maybe I thought it works better with Rabar Chaber, because there he's saying the Torah views it as your madlik v'chozeru madlik. So you're actually doing a maisa. The Torah at least views it as you're doing conceptually a maisa Adam HaMazik at every point in time. So maybe that's why you get the ptur of Adam HaMazik vis-a-vis Misa. So anytime an Adam HaMazik causes Misa, he's pater from Teshlumin. But that's not the regular din of Kamal Rabbi Minei. All right, it's still a problem in the Rambam. The Brisker Rav also at the end kind of gives up. He says he doesn't know. The basic idea is the problem is there's a Gemara in Daf Mem Gimel talks about Kofar and Tmei Eved and Tmei Adam. If you're Chayev, if you're somehow Pater from Kofar, let's say if the shore there is Shalobi Kavana and he gets away from Kofar, does the Adon still pay Tmei Eved or Tmei Adam to the Yarshim or whatever? So, and not everyone agrees the concept exists. And the Rambam also says the concept doesn't exist. There, but by Eved he says Eved is no different from a table. He's property. So then it would exist. It's not me Adam. It's just pure Adam HaMazik. Killing an Eved is just Adam HaMazik like destroying a chair. So, and yet he still says you're Pater from the Tmei Eved. So, the only way that can work is through Kimla. Anyway, you take a look there, you'll see it. At the end, he gets into a little bit of a quandary there. We'll leave that for now. Again, the Rambam with Eish has both. He's Mechayev Dalad Dvarim, like Adam HaMazik, and also there's a Ptur Tamun also. And the Rambam makes no distinction between Kalal Lochitzav, Lo Kalal Lochitzav when he talks about Tamun. Again, from the Gemara Pashtus, it says if you hold Isha Mishim Chitzav, you're going to be Chaya for Tamun. The Rambam makes no distinction. So it seems like the Gra is right. And the Maskana there with the Girsa Rashi has in the Marshal, the Maskana, even the Gra, even Rabbi Yochanan agreed it's Mishum Amono, like the Pashtus and the Rambam we read. Ella, that because it's a Pshia Gedola, then the Torah would give you Chiyuve Adam Amaze. All right, we'll leave it for there. Enough for now. Okay, now we're getting to something famous here. Again, with this concept of Gadish, this Gadish with the Yavid Kafutlo that's Patur. So we quoted Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish, Rehitzitz Begosh Alavid. Now, so we're working with Kim Le'Ibram Emine. Now, there's a famous Nebuka Yosef here. Everyone know the Neiros Shabbos, Nebuka Yosef? Not everyone. It says, how are you, how can we light Neiros Shabbos? Because the act continues into Shabbos, Yomachal Shabbos. So he says, no, we view it as everything occurred at the Shasad Laka. Everything was sort of concentrated there. And that's the Maisa, and whatever happens later is not your Maisa anymore. I mean, okay. By far, that's not, it's very famous, but it's not universally accepted. Okay, a lot of Achranim take that to task. First of all, Rav Shachter always quotes this Rashi in Sanhedrin. It says, your Mechal Shabbos says, Osa Davar, Osa Maisa. So it sounds like, even though it is your Maisa, but you yourself, you're not doing anything. You're sitting in your easy chair at home while it's happening. And that's all the Torah was worried about. I mean, it might be your act, but you're not doing the act. So Torah wasn't concerned on Shabbos. All the Malachas are said, you should be Anach on Shabbos. You should be a person who's nach, and so that's one case. However, the Nemuk Yosef is, first of all, it's used in certain cases. First of all, Rabbi Yechanan said this, a famous kash is, Rabbi Yechanan says, I assume it's in Gittin, so I remember when Tainus, with the Beis HaMikdash, that he would have been Kaveya, the Tisha B'Av on Yud B'Av, because that's when the Beis HaMikdash actually, the majority of it was destroyed. So the question is, but wait a minute, but if it's Ishum Ishum Chitzav, according to Miki Yosef, so everything was destroyed already at the time they first lit the flame. So why was Rabbi Yochanan's the stirrup? Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so, you know, it's kind of known as somewhat of a klotz kashya, because the briskers say, well, yeah, it's true, that might be true, but what are we misabel on? We're misabel on the result. The result is, when was the result? The result was on Yud B'Av. So, okay, it's not so, but it's a famous question. And also, yeah, so Benuki Yosef has a large ramifications la halacha. Let's say someone, according to Benuki Yosef, if someone threw a spear, and then... and then before the spear reached the target of his, let's say he was aiming for a vase, he died. And then it broke the vase. So according to Miki Yosef, his Yorshim are chaya for the vase. Okay, if you don't hold like that, then not. So it has, it's not the halacha here, but I'm saying it has large ramifications. And I also heard once I was in Daf Yomi, Rav David Palm quoted I go usually, Rav David Palm is Rav Palm's son, so a huge Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik in Toronto. Anyway, so one of the Daf Yomi, I forget what Indian, he was discussing this case like almost a reverse case of this. Let's say, okay, there's a machlekes by Bor, whether it's Hevel or Chabata that kills the shore. I think we paskin it's Hevel. Okay, so meaning, if a guy digs a bore in Rosh Hashanah and he's still on the bottom of the pit, right? He's digging the last Yud Amma out of the bore. And now a shore comes in and sticks its nostrils into the bore. So we consider it dead already because it stuck its nostrils in, and the Hevel killed him. And now he falls and kills the guy who's dugging the bore. And killed him. So it turns out that the Yorshim of the guy who was killed are chaya for the shore. So it comes out almost a reverse case. So the guy dug a bore and got killed, and he's still chaya to pay for the shore. Okay, it comes out, right? Because He was mischayev as soon as the shor put the nostrils into the boar. So this used in the, this is in, known in the Yeshiva Shavelt as like a another corollary of the Namukhi Yosef. But this Namukhi Yosef L'chora is, there's a problem in Agmarin Ksubus, Daf Lamed Aleph. There it says, talks there about, in a Shabbos context, a person shoots an arrow destroys shirayim, which is silk, I think, on the way, and then the arrow reaches the destination. It's talking about Ma'avir Arba Amos. The Gemara says he's pater on the shirayim because akira tzarech hanacha. Why? Because you need an akira and a hanacha, and that's why you're pater. So they're all medayik. It sounds like from the Gemara, if not for that, right? Let's say it was a Yom Chol and he shot the arrow, then he would be chai for the Shirayim. So, kind of Miki Yosef, how does that, what difference does it make if it was Shabbos, not Shabbos? The minute he shot the arrow, everything occurred. At the time he shot the arrow, where it's like, at that instant. So, you know, Kumar seems to be against him. There are terutzim. We're not getting into that now. But, I'll be pshut though. I mean, on the surface, it's a problem. So anyway, we have another teretz. Wait a minute. We have the Rashba. It was a famous Rashba here. He asked a question like, let me see here. So our Gemara says you light the Gaddish and then you kill the Eved. He says, well, and you're potter on both. Why? The Eish first destroyed the Gaddish, and only then killed the Eved. So your Chiyuv Mamon came before your Chiyuv Misa. So you should be Chayiv. So you see, clear, the Rashba wasn't learning about the Namukhi Yosef, right? And apparently the only time you say Kimle is if the Chiyuv, right, once you're Mischayiv Misa, you can't be Mischayiv Mamon. But here you weren't Mischayiv Misa yet. Because first you got the Chiyuv Mamon, so that sticks. And then the Chiyuv Misa. So the Rashba asks, what's going on here? Why is he Pater? Why is he Pater for the Mamon? He should be... The Chiyuv Mamon came first. So famously he gives... he gives the answer of Rodev. He's a Rodev. Okay, so what does that? How does that help? Because now... the Rodef is a Chiyuv already now. He's a Chayav Misa now as a Rodef. So that's a Chiyuv. Once the Chiyuv is there, even before he threw the spear, the Chiyuv is there, so no Chiyuv Mamun can be Chal anymore. Okay, we'll see. Now I'm already getting into the a Teretz here. We'll see in a minute.
Why is the Rashba from Skash against the Namukhi Yosef? What would you expect the Namukhi Yosef to say?
Everything occurred simultaneously at one instant.
At the beginning.
But
who says that applies for Misa as well? He's Chayv Misa while the Eved's still alive? You're assuming the Namukhi Yosef would say that for Ritzicha as well?
Well, if it ultimately occurs, then the Chiyuvim are Chal at the same time. Back from the first
that
instant.
That would be true even for Ritzicha.
I think. You know. Yeah, they talk about that, whether the when is the Chiv actually Chal according to Namukhi Yosef, and if that makes a difference. It could be just the fact that the one Maisa caused both is sufficient according to the Namukhi Yosef, and there's also Tamidei Rashba here involved, but the Rashba definitely wasn't on that track. What the Rashba required was that the Chiyuv be Chal. Once the Chiyuv is Chal while he's a Rodev, so no Chiyuv Mamon can be Chal. So that's why he needs Rodev. Rodev is, we'll see soon. There's, let me just review the Gemara once again. It won't take too long, but the Gemara there said, the Gemara said, according to Isha Mishum Chitzav, we understand why he's Pater. And by Isha Mishum Mamono, why is he Pater? Right? If his shore gored someone, he'd be Chayiv. It's only Mamono. The Gemara says, Gufo Shel Eved. Okay, so according to the Rashba's answer now, that it's Rodev, what's the problem with Reish Lakish? Right? He's a Rodev too. He's a Rodev. So what's the character of Mamono? If someone takes a poisonous snake and wants to kill someone, so it's Mamono, right? He wants to throw the snake and the snake's going to go and bite somebody and kill him. Of course you can. He's a Rodev. You kill him anyway. So once you have Rodev, so you have a Ptur of Mamon. So by actually asking this question of Rodev, you made it worse, right? For Reish Lakish anyway. It's not... It's who cares? It's Mamono, but he's still a Rodev. He's going to kill him with his Aish. So kill him. Once he's a Rodev, you get a Ptur Mamon. So that's one question that's asked on this... on this Rashba. The other question is, I think the Shara Melech asks, yeah, that's the Arsa Mas question on how Reish Lakish fits in. And then there's a famous question on Shara Melech is, wait a minute, here what happened? He lit the fire and now the fire is continuing. Well, what's he doing? He's not doing anything anymore. So he's not a Rodev. He already lit the fire. The fire is going on its own, right? The spear has left his hand, or whatever. He's not doing anything. What's going to help killing him now? He's not... Right, spear's in the air. He's going to kill him anyway. Why is he a Rodev? So what's a Rashi mean? He's a Rodev, and therefore the Chi of Ischal... he's not a Rodev once the spear leaves his hand. It's almost a catch-22, right? He's not a Rodev. Okay, so this is what leads now, a big Yesod here... drawn by the Sefer Nachlas Yitzchak, is that actually there's two things going on in Rodev. There's this concept of Hatzalas HaNirdav, and there's also a concept of Gavra Ketila. Gavra Ketila, the Brisk Rav deals with this also in Hilchos Ratzeach Shmiras HaNefesh, let's say by Baba Machteris, which we had in last week's Parsha. It says, Ein Lo Dam. So what does it mean, Ein Lo Dam? We only find that concept of Ein Lo Dam by Yotzei Lehareg after a Gemar Din. The Mishnah and of Zion in Archon says, Yotzei Lehareg Lo Nerach Velo Nidar. He's got no dam in whatsoever, not worth anything. And the Brisk Rav says, if you kill such a person, not that you're Mechuyev to kill him, necessarily, you're not, or if you're Chovel in such a person who has a status of a Gavra Ketila, you're Potter. Now the Rambam, they all point out, has some the tour. I think whatever you'll see then in the Brisk Rav, you look there. He says on one hand, if Efshar Latzilo Echad Meivarav, you do so, but if you don't, you're not Chayav Misa. So y'all ask her, well, what does that mean? The Torah argues, says, no, you're Chayiv Misa, you weren't allowed to kill him. If you could kill him, Bechad Meivarav, you didn't, you're just going to kill him. So the way Brisk Rav answers is, no, that he has a din, it's one thing to be matzil him, try to be matzil the other person the best way you can, but besides that, by virtue of the fact he's doing a Maisa Redifa, which may result in the killing of the other, of the Nirdav, he has a status of a Gavra Ketila now. That says, Ein Lo Dam, by Baba Machteres shows you that's the idea. Okay, so with those two concepts, let's say a katan. Gemara says explicitly, how do we know Gavra Ketila? Another riot to this is the Gemara there says, you can't learn killing a Rodef Achar Hanefesh from Nara Murasa. Can't learn it from there. Why? Because Ein Onshin Min Adin. So Ein Onshin Min Adin, what does that got to do with Hatzalas HaNirdav? Ein Onshin Min Adin, Nara Murasa, her life's not even in danger. I mean, there's some kind of upgum there, whatever, to go through the sugya there. I hear the guy's life's in danger, and we're saying Ein Onshin Min Adin, of course, God's got to cut his throat. I mean, of course, you kill him. What's Ein Onshin Min Adin doing here? He says, no, because there's a concept of a Gemar Din, of a Gavra Ketila. You're giving him an oinish also here of Gavra Ketila, the halos shame of a Gemar Din. So that's why you can't call Gavra Ketila. Gemara has to learn it from a different way. Now, by the way, Baba Machteres is a strain. The Afikayam is a famous Afikayam, and I heard from Rabbi Soloveitchik when I was in his shir. Also, the Rambam there doesn't say mitzvah lahargo, reshus lahargo. Why? Because his ikar is not on dine nefashos. He's not coming to kill. He's coming to rob. If the guy gets in his way, he'll kill. But like this, he's coming to. He's just coming as a robber. So that's why it's only reshus lahargo. Because the Torah gave him a gavra katila. Just like someone who has a gemar din, he did something, Beis Din gave him a gemar din. I'm a chuyav to go kill him. It's not my responsibility to kill him. He's walking on the street. I don't have to kill him. Beis Din has to kill him, or the Adaidim, whatever, the process kills him. But if I do kill him, I will not be chayav misa or chabala, because he has the din of a gavra katila. That's the din of a gavra katila. So that's a little bit, right, that's the diuk in the Rambam, the Afikayam makes. But a regular Rodef who's actually running after someone to kill, so again, so now we're going to solve these problems here we had. And also, what's going to be with a katan they raise? I think Amin Chaskanecher has a katan. And the Gemara says explicitly, a katan running someone with a spear, you kill the katan. So a katan is not, he's not chayv onshim. He's not a bar onshim. So it could be, according to this logic, if you were able to, this is how I was thinking, if you're able to kill a katan bechad meivarav and you didn't, you would be chayv misa. Because he doesn't have a din of a gavra katila. Okay. Anyway, so now let's just solve the questions we had. Yeah, so one question we had on the Rashba was, he's not a Rodef anymore. It's true. Mishum Hatzalas HaNirdof, he's not a Rodef. But he retains the status of Gavra Katila until his Maisa is complete. Okay, so he lit the fire. That's his Maisa. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, we're not going to the Rambam here. According to Rabbi Yechanan, he's still a Gavra Katila until he kills the person. So that will potter him from Mammon. The Chiyuv Misa is still upon him. And therefore, a Chiyuv Mammon can't be Chal. Still Gavra Katila. Even though he's not in the process, there's no Chiyuv for me to go kill him now. He's stopped doing the Radifa. Right? He lit the fire and he's sitting in his chair. But the Chiyuv Gavra Katila still sticks. Until the Maisa completes. What about the question the Ar Sameach had on Reish Lakish? Again, the Gemara asks, according to Reish Lakish, if he's a Rodef, so why, what does the Gemara say he should be Chayev, according to Reish Lakish, right? We said he's Pater. The answer is like this, that he's only a Gavra Katila to the extent of whatever Maisa he's doing, right? So what Maisa is he doing? According to Reish Lakish, he's doing a grama, right? He's not, because it's Mishu Mamono. Any Mamono is grama. The Torah is Mechadesh, that you're chaya for your shore. Famous Chakira, right? Generally in this game, Mamon is it because of the Maisa Hezek of your shore, or is it because the Ishmira of your shore? Okay, I once picked up some Torah journal that had like 30 nafkaminas on this chakir. The famous chakir goes, threads through the whole Baba Kama. So contrary to Reish Lakish, it's true. It's like the poisonous snake case, right? That's my mamon. While I have the snake in my hand, you can kill, while a person has the snake in his hand, you can kill him because that's atzalos on erda. But a gavra katila he doesn't have because it's only a grama. So he won't have the status of gavra katila. When he releases the snake, no status of gavra katila. So that works with Reish Lakish. That's what Gemara says, he should be chayev. And this, we also find this yesod in the Achiezer. Because the Achiezer here, Simon Yudchas, so let's say you have a Moser, whatever. So he has a din of a Rodef, right? He informs on the government on a person. And however that works, Chazal gave him a din of a Rodef. Why? Because then the governments in those days would take a guy like that and they'd stick him in a jail cell for the rest of his life. You know, I mean, that was law and order back in the medieval times. not the U.S. in the 21st century. So here's a din of a row, Dave. Okay. So why is he chayv to pay mammon? A maser is chayv to reimburse the person with mammon. Well, why? So Rav Chaim Arizal gives this teretz there. He says, no, the maser is only through grama. But it doesn't have a din of a gavra ketila. He doesn't say it, but that's what he means. It doesn't have a din of gavra ketila. So he's only, it's only some atalas haro, Dave. So that's why he pays mammon, even though he's so he's off the hook. Right, he pays mammon even though he has a din of a rodef mishum hatzalas hanerdof. Let's see whatever else they had. Okay. All right, but again, according to the Rambam, we have a lot of problems here. But you know, again, he says tamun bein kalu bein lo kalu. We have the diuk from the Rambam of now there's this Minchas Chinuch here. Minchas Chinuch basically says, according to the Rambam, it's Rodef. It works with Tam Rodef. Now, we see already it's not really going to work. I mean, according to Rodef, you need a Maisa Ritzicha with the Eish. We've already proven that, if anything, it's even less than the run. It's just a pshia, so it's not going to work with Tom Reldev. Anyone wants to see this, I have it here. So that's Aaron the Minchas Chinuch. Okay. All right, so... okay, well, that's it for this part. Maybe you'll do Trefa next time. It's already late unless you want to do it now or next time. Yeah. Next time.
Yeah. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Yeah. So maybe we'll
work out. Maybe we'll do it early in the week or the week after. See.
Yeah, we'll
so
see.
Because it's Purim.
Yeah, it's Purim. Yeah, maybe.
Well, Purim is Kibbutz, but I still think maybe we'll figure out that week. But we'll talk.
Yeah,
we'll
so maybe we'll do a week after Purim, do a little bit of Purim and a little bit, and do Trefa, and then maybe something else. Trefa is not so long; it's a short week.
Even if you believe the guy with the migus, so you only believe him that he's a shema, so you still don't know.
There you go. Okay, you'd be accepted into.